Warning, this podcast contains spoilers, but you shouldn't care. Welcome to Hey James, Watch This, a celebration of mediocrity. In this, and indeed every episode, Russ and Fry will try to convince their friend James why he should watch an absolutely unnecessary film. Hey James, Watch This.
Hi everybody, welcome to Hey James, Watch This. I'm James.
I'm Russ.
And I'm Fry.
And we need to talk about Assassin 33 AD, gentlemen.
You can't believe it exists.
That is true.
Every time I think of any part of that movie, I just bust out laughing.
I don't know. I found it stressful. I think more than anything, but that's okay. That's why we decided to do this podcast, right? So, Assassin 33 AD. I'm going to read some of the notes that I took, and then I'm going to skip down to a section where I started just writing a list of all the things the director either hates, fears, or doesn't understand that is also in the movie, because I didn't know how else to record what I was seeing.
Oh, good.
So my first note, wow, the dialogue is awful. Atrocious. And I mean that it's so bad it could almost be an art form. This movie isn't as fun to watch as The Room, but it's close. It's in that territory.
Do you think the writer, before writing this, had ever spoken to a human being?
I don't think this writer had ever written anything, is the problem.
That's like, certainly yes. Got to be. In fact, I bet we can look that up.
Okay. Well, that's what I felt watching the movie. So if he had written something, shame.
And I love the character, like, mood shifts. Everyone turns on a dime. Like, from the very start, it's like smiles. Tears. Just boom, immediately.
On that topic, I have never met a Christian girl who was that flirty. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thirstiest Christian woman I've ever seen in my entire life.
It had like a woke Christianity feel where it's like, oh, yeah, we're kind of cool with premarital sex.
Yeah, you kind of get that sense there's no way they're not fucking, yeah. Right?
Oh,
I mean, they don't show it, which is fine, but like, wow, yeah. And that's not a bad or good thing. It's just something I noticed. When it comes to the security guard guy whose family dies in the beginning in that hilarious Final Destination-esque scene.
Grant.
Brant, yeah, I'm not going to remember any of the characters' names except for Ben Goldstein because they say his full name a lot.
Well, it was Ram.
Goldstein. I'm sorry. So there you go. I didn't even remember that. All I remembered, every time that he was on screen and someone else was talking to him, I thought they just should have put like a big Jew subtitle above his head.
Goldstein, you shyster Jew.
So the security guard, is he talking in the beginning? Is he really talking to God or is he talking to Uncle Sam? Because I think so. In the beginning, I think I caught a line that said, all I did was kill terrorists. Like, aren't I a good Christian? And I mean, I don't know. It seems like Jesus wasn't a fan of murder. So maybe that woke thing is just a facade because there's a lot of weird stuff in this movie.
Now, look, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't you remember when Peter cut off that man's ear and Jesus was like, fuck yeah, go get him, boy.
yeah, I think you might have the
World Star.
Okay. There is a scene where Ram is talking to that really hot girl. I can't remember her character's name. His girlfriend, and she was really good looking, by the way. In fact, if I were to list good things about this movie, well, that girl was pretty hot.
We're talking about Amy, right?
Yes, okay. Amy. And then after that, I would have to get into the problems with it. So there's a line where he's speaking to her, and he makes a disparaging comment about Christianity because he's not a Christian. Of course, he becomes one by the end of the movie because I guess fuck everything. And the line is something like, I may not be getting the exact quote, just because I believe in science, okay, fuck you. Put a pin in that. Fuck you, writer director.
There's no believing
doesn't
in
mean
it.
That
it
I
is.
Can, doesn't mean I have the right to make fun of your religion.
Yeah.
Neither of those things is correct. Belief in science, that's not how that works. The whole point is that it's evidence-based. So you don't believe it. You're skeptical of it. You're skeptical of everything. And the second piece of it, I don't think you should go around necessarily making fun of people's religion to their face, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't have the right to. So, First Amendment. I mean, this takes place in the U.S. So, a completely false and incorrect statement, and I don't like the tone, and I don't like the implication of either one. But what he should have said was, well, I would like to continue having sex with you, therefore I shall choose not to, because that would have been better than the dialogue that was actually...
I want to interrupt you for a second here.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to be good for the show or not.
Go ahead.
I might wind up cutting this. But I want to talk about the phrase belief in science for a second here. Because I could argue, I'm going to take the pro side of belief in science. Because
All right, go ahead. We can fight about it. Go ahead.
I think what the phrase belief in science means is belief in the scientific method of believing that the scientific method is
belief as it's used in a modern Christian film is not the right word.
Well, that may be.
It takes an act of faith to believe that we can observe the universe and derive laws from that.
No, it doesn't.
I got to say, I'm with Fry on this one. I don't think the director was thinking as deeply as you are about this terrible line he wrote.
Absolutely.
Well, then
not.
You can't make a movie as a religious person. Well, let me rephrase
that. He did.
No. That's not what I was saying. You can make a movie as a religious person, but if you make a religious movie as a religious person about your deeply held beliefs and you don't think through the consequences of what you're saying, that's immoral.
You get Assassin 33 AD.
Well, yeah, and you get this movie. So, Fry, my disagreement with you is not if you or I said, yes, I believe in science, that's a fancy shorthand for I've seen and read how it works. And it's true that I don't understand every single piece of it. Certainly, we wouldn't claim that. But the basic concepts do not require the same kind of belief you would need to believe in an invisible man in the sky who makes the things happen. So when
there's still an act of faith at the very core of science. This faith that we can observe the universe and derive understanding from those observations. Now, you may believe that. I certainly do.
No, but, there's no assumption about what happens next, though. This is not a religious belief, and that is why I'm trying to separate the. I understand what you're saying, and in a context of an intellectual conversation where the two people, like, or three people, like us on this podcast, Well, okay, I'm dumb, but that's not what we're talking about. Don't have a strong assumption about beliefs in a religious manner. I really don't think it's the same thing. I really don't. I have lived both of those lives. I was religious for a very long time, and now I'm not, and it is not the same.
Because I know
that if someone questions a specific enough topic, and let's assume it's also within the scope of something that I'm able to demonstrate, because obviously those things are limited, I can go do that. But you cannot do that with something like, say, prayer.
So
yeah, no, I 100% agree with you.
Okay, and that's what
definitely
I'm saying.
The way that was used in this movie, it was basically
wrong.
The same as saying I'm team science.
He might as well have said I have faith in science.
James, or Russ wants to say something so bad.
Yes, Russ,
I've got to disagree with you on this one because I ordered a Jacob's ladder off of Wish.com.
And you ordered a Jacob's ladder.
Yes, it plugs into the wall.
Off of Wish.com.
Off of Wish.com. And I have been praying to it.
Okay. But that makes you crazy. That doesn't have anything to do with... Like, I understand what you're saying and I acknowledge it. You're crazy. That's fine. I don't want you to
stop. Believe in science.
We don't kink shame on this podcast, James.
Yeah, I don't want you to stop being crazy, Russ, but it has nothing to do with what Fry and I are talking about. So, Russ, that's another thing, and I hate to do this because it means you might have to cut this whole rest of this, but that's the whole thing. That's the whole point I'm trying to make is if I was presented with sufficient evidence, I would change how I think. If God came down and said, hey, I'm real, and it's pronounced Jod, I believe that was Fry's joke.
that was my joke, but I stole it from Reddit.
Ah, oh, it was your joke. Yeah, if God came down and I saw it, and there was some way for me to verify, like, okay, this probably isn't a hallucination, I would reconsider my beliefs. That's the whole thing about science. But religion doesn't work that way, and that's why I don't like it when they talk about it as a faith-based belief.
It's funny, when we first started doing this podcast, Russ and I would discuss things beforehand.
Yeah.
And there were a number of times that I stole jokes that he'd written in the chat. And now I'm stealing jokes without even meaning to.
Oh, no. I misattributed my stolen joke. It was to Russ. And Russ got it from Reddit, so I think it's fine. But yeah, if he came down and was like, it's pronounced Jod, I'd be like, all right, I got to rethink some things. So anyway, moving along, now we are going to get to the list of things that this director... I did not do a lot any more research on the director. I can
This is the longest and best James movie review we've ever
it written. Is.
Strap the fuck in. I'm not done.
I want to tell you one thing. Yes. I did just do the slightest minute of research about this director.
Okay, sure.
And we were writer and director, of course, because
Mark. Oh, no. We know in this movie, when you say director, we know writer and director. We know that.
On IMDb, he has 3 writing credits, also 3 directing credits.
Okay.
And 2 of them are the same movie.
What?
One of them is Assassin 33 AD. And
oh, the director's
Assassin cut. Assassin 33 AD Black Easter.
Which I did not watch the director's cut, by the way, at Russ, at your recommendation.
It adds way too much exposition.
Yeah. Well, if there's one thing this movie doesn't need more of, it's people fucking talking to each other while nothing happens in the story.
But he did write one movie before he wrote this.
Oh, what was it called?
He wrote, directed, produced, and starred in Evil Behind You in 2006.
So now I know. If you guys ever try to make me watch that, I'll try to remember.
Is Evil Behind You like an anti-buggery movie or something?
Couples are victims of medical experiments that mutate their minds with supernatural activities. As their mental capacities increase, so does the danger from something evil that is not of flesh and blood.
Oh, he is scared of intelligence. Okay, great. Yes, that's good to know. All right, here's a list of things that, based on this film, this director either fears, hates, or doesn't understand, or some combination of all 3. And I'm not going to just say which is which. I'm just going to read these, and if you disagree, feel free to interject. Black people, Latinx people, scientists or anyone with a basic understanding of physics, Middle Eastern people, Muslims, Jewish people, electricity, physics, computing devices, U.S. soldiers, Christian women, non-Christian women, terrorists, evidence-based logic, realistic gunshot noises... Good writing / dialogue, tactical combat gear, guns, and after that, it looks like I trailed off into a rant about something else. Anyway.
John Wick, the gunplay ain't.
It's not even the composition of the scenes that that bothered me so much, and this is coming from someone who is not in any way an audiophile. I don't have good enough hearing to, like, worry about the quality of music, for example. Like, it's all fine to me. But... these guns sound... they don't even sound like cap guns. They sound like someone in the background going... every time a gun is fired.
Do y'all remember when you were in middle school and they would have the band concert and you would play, like, Sleigh Ride, and there was the one kid who had the 2 boards that slapped together and had a hinge on one end? That was the best. Yeah.
A couple other thoughts here just to close us out. How many scenes in this movie are there where a white person tells a person of color to shut the fuck up?
Every...
it's a lot. The villain at the end, whose plan is stupid to begin with, I think we discussed that in the previous episode, so we can skip it now. So his plan at the end, he actually materializes inside of Jesus' tomb, okay? Because he's going to take the body.
Yeah. Pretty reasonable.
Because deep down, he does believe that he's going to resurrect if he doesn't intervene. Clearly, that's what he believes.
I disagree. I think that the character honestly believes
this movie
that this was a fraud perpetrated by the apostles.
They don't really go into that, do they?
They don't.
I think he believes that because he says that's not a great lie.
That's not a line in the movie though, and they don't really go into it. So I'm not saying, Fry, I'm not saying that he doesn't say those. Like yes, he does say it's a lie, but. They don't spend any time on what his actual motivation is. He has no motivation to do any of this. It's insane.
Now I'm wondering if that was extra exposition on the director's cut.
It would not have helped. I think it would have made it more racist and not made any more sense. So it would not have been a better film. So this guy's plan is he's going to time travel/teleport, because he's also moving through space as well as time. Back to Jesus' tomb, which for some reason they know where it is, which I don't believe we do.
It's set in the future a little bit. They found it. The movie's set in 2029. They've had 7 years to find it from now.
That must have been on the director's cut, because that one on mine.
I don't remember that, but in 7 years, I'm going to hit you up, Fry, and I'll be like, hey, they find it yet? And if they haven't found it, you have to, like, give me, I don't know, a couple of bucks or something.
Eat a bunch of sand.
We'll revisit that on a future episode of the podcast.
Yeah. I'll give you a couple of bucks if they do find it.
We're still doing this seems like poxy thing in 7 years. I'm finding both of you and running you over with a tractor.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm fine with that. All right. So he's going to spirit away Jesus' body inside his tomb to prevent people from thinking he rose again.
Bingo.
That's a pretty dumb fucking plan.
Now Jesus is resurrected and a time traveler.
Yeah. There was a moment there where I honestly thought that he was going to take the body and that was going to be the evidence his followers used to believe he risen from the dead.
That would have been a better movie.
That would have been really good, but you would never put that in a Christian faith-based movie because it ruins the whole thing.
The other thing I like about this movie, I guess, and I say like, I guess this is in a little bit of a mean way, because I like the reaction. So Russ was reading, I believe from, what was it, Dove.com last episode, Russ, where you read the review, and they hated it because of the violence. All the violence is off screen. There's very little blood in this movie. This movie is pulling its punches left and right. If those people thought this movie was unacceptable for violence, oh dear, bless their hearts is all I can say.
Well, you should see what they say about like the Marvel movies. You think it was the second coming of Satan.
And now we are going to come to one of my biggest problems with this movie, and it has nothing to do with religion or science. So that means this guy has got a hat trick going of fuck-ups. This guy is the, to quote Uncle Roger on YouTube, I recommend you watch his channel, this guy is the Usain Bolt of fucking up. It's not 5 seconds into the movie. You are not allowed to have a character arc with the version of the character from the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
That is the stupidest fucking... So he goes back, and then this weird scene that I watched twice to try and understand happens, where Ram Goldstein goes back. For whatever reason, the security guard guy who hates God and is motivated by hate and not necessarily sadness at this point in his life... It just gives up. He's like, yeah, shoot me. It'll be good. I don't deny that this guy could have been suicidal. They showed that one scene where he holds the gun nowhere near his head, nowhere near pointing at him, but he does hold it in sort of a way to imply maybe he's suicidal. But
or he just really loves his gun.
Or maybe he loved the gun. Who knows? It looked like an Airsoft M9 or something. Anyway, so he points the gun at this guy, and the guy just gives up. But instead of doing what you think somebody who is suicidal would do, which is run at the person pointing a gun at you, he gets down on the ground and puts his hands out and says, shoot me. This guy is a college kid and scientist. Don't get me started on college kid. Anyway, this guy's a college kid and scientist. He's not going to shoot you, man. You just presented no threat. You should have ran at him. Anyway. Didn't really want to die, and also had an entire character arc, and I think it was about 15 seconds. Fry, is that right, Russ?
Yeah, they really speed ran the last few.
So, writing, treatment of science, and treatment of religion. If I were a Christian, I probably wouldn't care much for this movie. I gotta be perfectly honest with you. This fails in every conceivable way, and everybody should watch it at least once. That's my review.
It's like Assassin's the Grand Canyon.
It's fucking the depths of wrongness in this film. If I were a student of film, I could write multiple papers on it. I can't thank you for introducing me to it, but it was something I needed to see. So
I get the feeling we will be seeing this one as a trio in the future.
Well, yeah, I think so. I think we have to.
Well, Assassin 33 AD won no awards, and we were planning this week to do drama. And Fry found a drama, but you can't really call it a sci-fi because it's not very sci, mostly fi. But this movie that we're seeing this week won a VFX award, and it also won one of the AARP's Movies for Grown-Ups awards.
I did not know that was a thing.
Now, I've been watching and enjoying movies my entire life, and I also didn't know that the AARP's Movies for Grown-Ups was a thing. For any listeners who are unfamiliar, the AARP is the American Association for Retired Persons. It's old people.
We've still got a few years left before they start sending us postcards.
Not as many as you think. They start early, bud.
In planning this week's Untitled Dot Text, I knew I had to do something with this. And so I scoured the list of the 2000s and the awards given for the AARP's Movies for Grownups.
Oh, Russ, you genius. This now, is amazing.
What I'm going to do is read you a comment that was left on the website by a member of the AARP in reference to one of these movies that has won an award.
Russ, you were a genius.
Your job is to tell me, what movie is this old person commenting on the internet about?
Oh my God, I love this. This is the best thing we've ever done with our lives. Everybody get your shit together. Let's see what we can do here. It's going to be low scoring, but we'll try.
All right.
This is amazing.
Phyllis S506018 writes, I think Tom Hanks deserves an Oscar for this 2019 movie. The movie was nothing like I expected. It was so thought-provoking and caused me to do some soul-searching of my own life. God puts people in our lives as we go through
the Green Mile.
Through our daily tasks. We can all make a difference. Take a minute. Have a conversation. Look in the eyes of the person in front of you. Someone needs your attention. No, it wasn't.
It's got to be the Green. Really? 2019.
Was this Bridge of Spies?
This was not Bridge of Spies.
No, Road to Perdition?
Not Road to Perdition.
Oh, no, this wasn't that animated train thing,
was it? It was not. Was that? You're thinking of Polar Express.
Okay, that would have been really stupid. What the fuck was she talking about? Tom? Phyllis. Oh, you sly minx, you, Phyllis.
So I'm worried that this is not a movie Tom Hanks is in.
Say it.
No, I don't have a guess. I'm just worried that Phyllis is...
You're right.
I double-checed those.
Okay.
There's one where they get the movie title wrong, but not wrong enough. So all of them do refer to a movie.
Okay. And in this case, it was a Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Castaway.
No. Well, we're all over the map, boys.
I don't know.
That was A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Oh! Well, okay. I got to agree. That was about Mr. Rogers, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I got to agree with her. He was a great guy.
GJ857 writes, Laura Dern's role was small and less than challenging. Margot Robbie would have been a better choice for this 2019 movie.
So they knew
what
about
she saying,
Margot.
What are they saying about Margot Robbie here?
They're saying she would have been a better choice.
I will remind you.
For a small, inconsequential role.
I will remind you that both Laura Dern and Margot Robbie are white actresses. Laura Dern is 55 years of age, and Margot Robbie is 31 years of age.
Yes. Well, 50 and 30 when you're 80 years old. Who gives a damn? It's all the same.
It's all the same.
I know her name. I'm having trouble picturing her face.
Well, I will give you just one on this one since you're not going to get it.
The role was for
a divorce attorney.
Oh, and what year was that? Do we have
2019?
That wasn't a Marriage Story, was it?
Marriage Story is the correct answer.
Holy crap, yeah. Fry. I did not have that loaded. I was looking for a joke answer, I'll be honest.
Now tell me, what happens in Marriage Story where Margot Robbie becomes the divorce lawyer?
That might be a very different movie.
It's a wild movie. All right.
I only really know about that movie through memes I've seen about it, because I've never watched it.
GJ857 writes again, I don't agree that this 2019 movie is better than Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, or Joker, or 1917. Because it was based on true events, the tale was fascinating, but not well told.
Hannibal, clearly.
What a puzzling set of movies to compare to. I guess they're saying this should have been nominated for Best Picture.
Oh, was it Hail Caesar?
It was not. 2019.
Well, 2019 again. Did they all die? Why are there no comments past 2019?
Did something happen at the end of 2019, early 2020, that adversely affected the elderly population? I haven't been following the news.
Fry, you're a naughty boy, and I love you. I don't understand what they're... It's not The Hateful Eight, is it?
No, that would be The Irishman Boys.
Oh, come on.
And GJ does not agree that it is better than Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or Joker or 1970.
Look, George Jones has a very interesting opinions on movies.
Stan Chaz writes, although the last thing we want to see is censorship, brackets, sunshine is the best disinfectant, I myself found this 2017 film to have racist undertones, painting all whites in the movie as some kind of racist and evil monsters.
Oh,
this
no.
This has got to be Get Out.
Get Out is the correct answer.
Oh, yes, of course.
I am so like, no.
I'm glad that Stan caught the subtle subtext in that movie.
Yeah, it was real subtle, but I'm glad to see he still got it. He still got it all up there.
I was still like reeling from all the possibility. These each worse than the last, and Fry just got there first. Man, nice work, dude.
S. Jacob writes, "This 2010 picture was delightful. Jeffrey Rush and Colin Firth were fantastic. The period costumes were spot on. As a retired English teacher,
Pirates of the Caribbean
loved this movie. No,
three?
This no? has got to be Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
No."
Damn. Regular Pride and Prejudice?
No.
Sand Zombies?
What was the year again?
2010.
Russ?
Wait, who were the
actors? It's not Four Feathers, is it?
Jeffrey Rush and Colin Firth.
It's not Four Feathers.
I don't know
who
Jeffrey Rush is.
You know who Jeffrey Rush is.
Who is Jeffrey Rush?
Jeffrey Rush, you would probably know as playing Captain Barbossa in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
He's an amazing actor, Fry. Hmm. Although I only know Barbossa as well, so this has got to be, so it's not Four Feathers, but it's something 2010. I got to get the right decade. You know, that's a challenge for me, but time is fluid. Leave me alone.
Well, Fry, let's hear from you.
I was trying. It feels to me like it's an old gangster movie. Like it's a
no
like
boys.
That's, oh, could be.
That would be The King's Speech.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen that. About 12 years.
Oh, Pauline. Pauline has something to say. Pauline tells us.
Oh, Pauline.
Pauline, what do you have to say for us?
This 2016 movie was such a waste. These young reviewers have no idea of what a good song and dance movie should be. Go rent Singing in the Rain instead.
It's got to be High School Musical, right?
Nope. Strong opinions.
Oh, Moulin Rouge.
Nope.
That Chicago? Was way earlier than 2016.
No, you're right. I have decade issues. All right, so singing and dancing movie. Oh, Cats.
No, that's too soon. That was during the pandemic, I think.
Oh, you're right. How literally should we take that?
Very.
Now, does Pauline know what a musical is?
She does.
Versus just a movie. Okay.
I know this isn't the right answer, but I don't get to talk about this movie on the podcast often. It's got to be Repo the Genetic
Opera. Oh, I love that movie. It's so weird.
This one turned up in our untitled.txt for musicals.
This is the one we couldn't remember the name of last time about the demon barber of Fleet Street.
No. Oh.
No.
Well, boys, that would be La La Land.
Yeah. Okay. All right, there we go.
I thought that was more recent, huh?
Oh my God, I love this one.
Butterflies when you're having fun.
Buoyant Butterfly.
Can we give them the points for this? Buoyant that only feels fair. Writes. What a name.
Yeah, that seems fair. Just start a new column.
Brad Pitt turned in one of the best performances by far in this picture. Like Paul Newman, he gets better every year and has never been given enough recognition for what I believe is one of the best actors we have. I hope he never stops acting because we would be robbed of so many excellent future performances. It's time Hollywood wakes up to his gift.
So I know what this movie is. There were hints in there. They talked about he gets better every time. They talked about, you know, I hope he stays an actor forever. So it's clearly Edge of Tomorrow. Thank you. I'll take my award.
That's Tom Cruise.
Oh, what did you say?
Brad Pitt.
What year was
Oh, my God. You're right. I got him confused.
2019 is the year. And also, Hollywood, wake up to Brad Pitt's... He's such an... I mean,
this isn't Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, is it?
It is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, nice.
However, yeah. Buoyant Butterfly calls it Once Upon a Day in Hollywood.
Also good.
Bless their heart.
Buoyant Butterfly, if you're out there listening, I guess my question is, how many more, like, Brad Pitt does several movies a year. Like, how much more does he need to
do? He needs more recognition.
I think he's pretty well recognized.
Yeah,
across the whole globe.
He's super duper famous. Yeah, absolutely.
True.
Like, this is not like an underground, underrated actor that is looking for his break.
Fry, I think the best thing we can say is from all three of us, Buoyant Butterfly, bless your heart.
Bless your heart. True Blue writes, I thought that this 2017 movie was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I understand that many people thought that the movie was very touching about the struggles of a low-income single mom's way of dealing with grief. There are plenty of lower-income parents who don't have to resort to taking their anger and frustration with the system out on innocent people. Can't recall the female award winner's name, but she was much better in Fargo. All she did in this was swear and rage and try to destroy everything and everybody she perceived as lying or cheating. Kind of like the so-called justice of the Old West. Terrible excuse for a movie. I'm not Pollyanna, but this movie's glorified violence and small-minded people who spend their entire lives thinking they are rugged individualists when in reality they are cowards.
Oh, my goodness. It's got to be a Million Dollar Baby. No, I'm kidding. Oh, is that Changeling?
No.
Okay, I didn't see Changeling. I just know that it's about...
Yes, the, quote, female award winner's name, she was in Fargo.
We don't know which actress.
I cannot remember the name, but I recall a movie where basically a woman loses her family... And it had a really ridiculous name referring to like an instrument, right?
Yeah. It was
like the fifth violin or something weird. How close am I on that?
I can see how memory works. You're close enough that I can see how your brain is working.
Human memory is deeply flawed. I think we all know that.
Second chair.
Your neurons are doing this. They're firing in wildly disparate directions. Well, the correct answer is Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Oh, I was thinking of a totally different
movie. And they were referring to Frances McDormand.
Mm.
One Great Granny writes...
I love that.
Thank you, and thank you again for not including this... in the 2014 Best Film and Performances list. Watch it with family members. All intelligent and with a great sense of humor. And we barely cracked a smile.
Oh, it was a Crash.
That sounds like... that is a completely fair review of Zoolander 2.
It's also a fair review of Crash. It was a hilarious comedy. Let's see.
It's all right. I'm not going to force you through it. It was Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, I love that movie. That's my favorite movie of all. I would not really call it a comedy. It has funny moments, but it's so touching. I love that movie.
Now,
I don't think you're supposed to be laughing out loud the whole time.
You get a chuckle out, but it's not no, The Grand Budapest Hotel is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Before I deliver the last question, I want to feed you some honorable mentions.
Yes.
PJ writes... I am very happy to read your feedback. Like I said, I am from Indonesia, and my husband is also from Vietnam. And we live in the United Kingdom. I lost my husband on March 1st. Meanwhile, my doctor said that I have a few months left to live.
Oh, wow.
Heavy comment.
I don't think that's a movie review.
It was not. Wait, but
was there, I thought there was going to be more where they talk about a movie.
Yeah, I did think they were going to...
Is it Up?
No. These aren't for movies. These were just comments.
No, Fry and I are going to pick the movie we think is most appropriate to the comment.
Nancy,
that does feel fair.
Nancy writes, I wish I could just print a list of titles. Is there a way to do this? And the AARP responds, Hi, Nancy. There is a print option to the left of this article. It is a black and white icon with a picture of a printer.
Yeah, I think it's obvious that Schindler's List. Yeah.
I was going to say that's, I think, Office Space.
And Two Papa... Every year, writes, that is, on every one of these lists, he comments the exact same thing.
What is it? What is it? What is it?
Are movies for grown-ups the same as adult films?
Good, good. It's, you know what? It's a joke that he just keeps doing every year. It amuses him.
No, but
it keeps him going. Good for him.
If we link it to a movie, I think it has to be Dumber and Dumber. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely fair. But I guess, you know what? Yeah. Good for him. He's got a tradition. Sticks to it.
This is
March 1st.
Traditions as good as any other.
Well, also his name is what? Two Poppy? Oh, me Poppy, like that?
Yeah, we'll go with it.
You think he puts it on his calendar?
Absolutely.
This is Antioch Cat. So how come this 2017 movie gets a Best Picture nomination again, but Greta Gerwig gets passed over for Best Director again? Even here, a woman director can't find any love or respect or recognition.
2017, this was too early for Lamb.
And Greta Gerwig.
Can a movie be nominated for Best Picture more than once? I didn't think that was how time worked.
Well, if it's a remake, maybe?
AARP.
Wait, you know what? If it's a remake, A Star is Born.
Well, I'd lean more towards the Greta Gerwig side of things.
I don't recognize the name.
Well, that was the
that is not going to help.
And she really was ignorant. The director of Lady Bird.
Ah, okay.
We ended up with exactly the total number of points that I expected on that one. And that
but they
was,
all went to Fry.
And that was Fry 3, James 0. And so that brings Fry to 91 and James to 97.
All right.
Spitting distance.
Time to take off the gloves. No, I wasn't putting gloves on. I really didn't know any of those.
Well,
what do we have today, gentlemen?
This is 2021. This is kind of dramatic, and this is Finch.
Finch, all right. Fry, take it away.
Finch is a post-apocalyptic setting. The world has gotten pretty bad, I would say. A massive solar flare has pretty much destroyed all of that ozone layer we used to have.
Ah. One of the more likely but boring apocalypses.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, we couldn't have done anything about it anyway, so fuck.
This occurs 15 years before the events of this movie. That will make everything else that happens ludicrous.
Okay. That does seem like a long time. Later,
okay. The world has mostly no ozone layer. We have 150 degree midday temperatures outside.
Oh dear.
It's Las Vegas.
We have constant high radiation during the day.
Wouldn't a lack of a ozone layer make the Earth cooler? I don't know the science on that.
No, I don't think the ozone layer holds in significant heat. I also don't know the science. I'm just making shit up.
The magnetic field protects us from radiation, not the ozone layer. I do know that.
I think the ozone layer is involved. The ozone layer protects you from... This is the most ignorant sounding we've been on this podcast. I think it has something to do with UV light, but I don't know for sure.
The Earth's magnetic field is what protects us from the vast majority of radiation that we
have. Now the sun is also stronger. I don't care. There's a lot more radiation.
Someone went and touched the sun and they restarted it.
The
and
neutrinos
now it's
have mutated.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So we meet our titular character, Finch.
Okay.
He is played by Tom Hanks. He looks like Tom Hanks. That's really all there.
He's played by Tom Hanks, but looks like Michelle Pfeiffer. It's weird.
That
it's not
been
like he's
more
Tom Hanks with a mustache or anything. He's just how Tom Hanks would look in the apocalypse. Like, without access, steady access to razors, you know?
Okay. So he didn't want to shave for the movie. That's fine. Continue.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's totally fair. I don't shave for this podcast. So Tom Hanks is rifling around a store trying to find some food, like an old abandoned supermarket. He finds a can of dog food. He's pretty happy about that.
Oh, yeah, you got to be happy about that.
Something makes a noise and he gets scared as shit. So we're just introducing, like, food is scarce, people are shitty, the world sucks.
Okay.
And he has a robot with him that helps him do his looting.
He has a... Whoa, hold on a sec.
There are going to be lots of robots. I'm going to need you to be cool with robots for this movie.
I will after I say my piece, okay?
He also drives a lot of vehicles.
I'm going to speak my piece.
It is not noted how gasoline, without being refined, has survived for 15 years.
Okay. It was a solar flare. I presume the problem there is it fries electronics, yeah?
Well, mostly the problem was it ate the ozone layer.
It fried everything.
Would not,
this makes absolutely no sense. Okay, don't sit on it. It's implied that that all his like useful shit survived because he's like way underground and he was working for a made up science agency. That's how it's explained away.
I can deal with that.
So what happened was solar flare eats up the ozone. There's a big EMP that follows. It fries all electronics. We're back to the Stone Age.
Yeah.
Except for him,
he's safe in his magic mountain.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. He's got a big underground layer because, as we know, robotics companies have to be built underground for safety reasons.
Yeah, it's regulation. Yeah.
And, of course, be protected from radiation, all that sort of stuff.
That's why they're always trying to arrest all those Boston Dynamics guys who build dog robots above ground and then kick them.
Yeah, you can't do that shit. You got to build that underground. You got to keep it way underground.
If you want to kick a robot dog, you got to do it below ground, son.
Is it any weirder than any of the other laws?
I think it's really weird that Tom Hanks is in this movie, but please continue. I was just so out of place. Like, why? What?
Tom Hanks is in this movie because the creators of this movie saw the movie Castaway and they realized that Tom Hanks can act very well with no one else around. And they were like, that's what we need.
Yeah, but the budget, though.
They also saw 2012.
They didn't have to pay any other actors.
What? What's that, Russ?
They also saw 2012, Twister, The Road, I Am Legend, and Short Circuit, and thought, we need those to be some hideous human centipede of a movie.
Yeah, they have borrowed parts liberally from all of these. And
I like The Road, and I like The Short Circuit, but I don't want to mash them together.
Well, this one
like,
does.
I honestly, you would mash
onions into peanut butter for like some kind of weirdo.
We're joking about the concept of this, but honestly, it's really good. Like, it turns out this is a really great combination of things.
You say that, but your opinion of movies is different from my
opinion. Well, I will continue to tell you about the movie. And,
please.
You'll make your decision, as always.
Yes, please do.
I think the point of this podcast, I don't know, I haven't listened in a while.
I don't remember, but I am super skeptical right now about this movie. Fucking Tom Hanks in it, but it's got... Anyway. Please
All right,
continue.
So Tom Hanks has a robot, but it's more, it's a rolling on the ground kind of robot. It's not a big walking dog robot.
Like your Johnny Five, so to speak. Yeah.
Well, no, it doesn't, it's not upright. It's more like...
it's like a footstool that walks.
Yeah, it's like a footstool on wheels.
Oh, it's like an Amazon delivery drone, but the wheel
Amazon
guy.
Drone.
Yeah.
Now, it does have one kind of robot claw on top that it can
Oh, yeah, you got to put a claw in there.
Yeah. And it's big enough... Crucially, that you can set a grocery shopping basket on top of it, because that's how he does his looting.
Wow, he sounds extremely lazy. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So he just goes through and he like points at stuff and tells the robot to pick it up. It's really the laziest kind of looting you could possibly do.
Oh, these people must have played Fallout 4.
Yeah.
It is Fallout the movie.
Specifically Fallout 4, where you could point at stuff and tell your companion to pick it up. It was always more efficient to do it yourself, but you know.
So he gets back, you know, he takes his stuff and then he gets in his recreational vehicle and drives back to his robot building base, being chased by a tornado.
Ah, so it's part of the weather's bad because
the weather is also bad.
Okay.
We need the ozone to make the weather not bad. I don't know why this is so hard.
I don't, okay, go ahead, man.
I can already promise you, none of the science in this movie checks out.
It's why we did drama and not science and not sci-fi.
No, you're right. You know, when you're right, you're right. It's a drama. It's not sci-fi. I've just come off a movie where everything was so wrong it traumatized me, and I was trying to get back to normal. But
it is as believable that a witch cast a spell on the planet and turned it into this.
I would have preferred that explanation. But anyway, go ahead.
So we get back and we see the other two
characters. Oh my God, Fry, I just thought of a really good movie. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just thought of a really good movie. Okay, so you know how they reverse...
Russ, I need a supercut of all the I'm sorry to interrupt.
It is every episode. It is 100% of every episode.
But at least I apologize. No, this is important and I have to say it while I'm recording. You know how they just reverse Roe versus Wade, right?
I heard about that, yes.
And this is in the U.S., and this is bad because now people can't get the medical care that they need, and women specifically, I suppose I should say.
To be fair, despite my flippant answer, I am very upset about this.
No, I know, but here's wouldn't it be great if the reason for a disaster like this was because a witch cast a spell, but the only reason she did that was because she was pissed off about not having getting the care. Anyway.
You know what? That can be the backstory for this.
That would be a much better plot than whatever they've done here. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
So Tom Hanks gets back to his robot bat lair, and here we get introduced to the other two characters of the movie. Mm-hmm. His dog, who he initially just calls Dog, but we later find out is named Goodyear.
I thought you were going to say Dog Meat. Go ahead.
No, Goodyear. Also, a robot that he is building that is going to be his main companion for most of this movie, but currently is just several parts scattered around a lab.
So this is Bicentennial Man crossed with the road, crossed with... Okay.
Yep.
All right. Yeah.
Whatever.
So we see him start building, you know, we see a little bit of time of him building the robot. And honestly... The robot is fucking adorable. Like it starts off all stupid and slowly learns how to be a
real boy.
Yeah. Well, and, when you're going to pander to a bunch of people, you need to pander really hard. So
yeah, and it's cute as hell, and it asks stupid questions. Yeah, and it's very fun. And so we get a little bit of that.
He built a child. Cool. Yes.
And then we get the weather report because you know there's lots of tornadoes. You got to get the weather report pretty often. And apparently...
Wait, where is he getting...
There's no weather report. He has a bunch of sensors set up. There's no more people. Okay. They're all dead.
If we're going to say that, I mean, for what it's worth, it's not like he could have sensors miles out tracking all these storms.
He does.
So unless we're implying he has his own radar network.
Several.
Sounds like it.
Anyway, so the weather report comes in, and he finds out that something like 37 different storms are all going to collide right over St. Louis. Which is unfortunate because St. Louis is where he is.
Yeah, but he's deep underground.
And the storm is going to... The ensuing storm from all of these storms merging into a megastorm will last
I believe we call it a perfect storm. Thank you.
Will last for 40 days. And he's like, it's probably not going to be good to stick around in.
Oh, I wonder why they chose that amount of time.
I don't 40 really days think it's, and this nights? Was meant as a reference, but...
Yeah. I think you're wrong.
It doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's never mentioned again.
I don't think this movie is meant to be an allegory about Noah's Ark.
So they couldn't have just said just over a month?
They could have said a million days months. Because what happens next is he fucks off.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Whatever number they said, forever. He's like, well, that's too many numbers. And so he's like, all right, got to train the robot to walk so that we can get the fuck out of here. And the robot's like, oh, but I haven't learned all the things you wanted to teach me yet. He's like, well, you'll just have to deal with it. And unplugs him, makes him start walking around.
I thought you were gonna. I thought the next sentence was gonna be and loads him into the trunk of a car.
No. He gets him to where he can walk around, and he's. We get some funny scenes of him trying to figure out how to do that by imitating Jeff.
Funny,
imitating Finch.
Right, funny. Yeah.
It's honest to God. It is cute as hell and very funny.
I'm super skeptical.
And they finally get in the RV and they hit the road.
Okay.
Now we will never see St. Louis again. It is gone from us forever. There is no looking back. We do some traveling, and we start realizing, oh shit, Finch is exceptionally ill.
What Finch? What direction does he head in?
West
from St. Louis.
He is going to California.
Ah, west. Okay.
Yes. We realize Finch is very ill and getting worse very rapidly because this is a movie. The way we tell this is that first his nose bleeds in one scene, and then later he coughs up a little blood in one scene.
Ooh, does he cough it into a handkerchief, yep. Russ?
When you get the coughing up blood disease, you're done for.
Jesus.
And we're assuming it's the radiation. He knows this. He knows he's not going to be around.
Yeah, it's radiation.
We're assuming it's the radiation. It's radiation. Okay.
Yeah. The movie never says so.
It does. In like the early scene, he's reading a book on the effects of ionizing radiation on the human body.
Yeah, but he's had 15 years. He might have just read every other book.
Yeah, that's Chernobyl.
I feel like after he would have read that before 15 years after the event.
It's
that
a good
him to
read, Fry. This is the fifth edition.
Well, there's probably not going to be
page
a
page turner.
So
the skin sloughs off in mass and.
We start to find out a little bit about his motivations in building the robot, who eventually chooses the name Jeff.
Right. The robot that's going to replace him because he has skin failure.
He's going to die, and he needs someone to take care of his dog, and God damn it, I'm going to build a robot to do that.
The dog would die of radiation, too.
No, it's
dogs
immortal.
Dogs are fine. Dogs never die.
I mean, I would like it if that were the case, but, you know, it's just not true. Anyway, go ahead.
The effects of radiation on dogs have never been proven.
Okay, sure, bud.
So he gets worse and worse, and finally he really can't do much more than lay in the bed in the RV and
And the robot has to learn how to do all the things for him. And yes, okay.
Well, so the robot has to, you know, start driving. It's fine. He figures out how to drive. It's not too hard.
Yes, all the things. The drive, fetch food, that kind of thing.
But he also realizes, like, yeah, you're right. You got to fetch food. And also, if you've got a sick, dying person in your car, you got to take him to the doctor. So as they're passing through Denver, the robot decides to follow the exit signs on the freeway and head to the hospital.
Okay.
He's not a very smart robot, but, you know, you can see the logical connections.
Sure.
So the robot and Dewey go inside while Tom Hanks is unconscious.
Although the robot did grow up in an environment where there were no other humans, so it is kind of stupid.
Yes.
Well, it didn't grow up at all.
Yeah, it grew up 2 days ago.
It has seen the sun once.
Mentally. Okay, yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
This movie takes place in two cities, St. Louis and Denver. And these two cities look exactly alike, and they look exactly like Toronto.
I knew you were going to say it was Canada, yes.
And the fun part about seeing this robot pull off the highway, and it says, "Welcome to Denver," and it's the Toronto skyline.
Hey, it's cheaper to film there. What do you want?
So they get to the hospital. Dewey and Jeff are looking around.
Yep.
And there's this one really suspiciously, very obvious, obviously placed box of food. And Dewey's like, hey, I'll grab that. That seems safe. And, oh no, wouldn't you know it, someone has placed a bear trap there, and it just plain cuts Dewey in half.
It was one of the super mutants.
Bear traps can cut through robots, right?
Yes.
It depends on what the robot is made of and what the bear trap is made of.
Well, that's the rating scale. So when you go and buy a bear trap, which I've had to do living in Canada now, you have to drag them behind you when you walk. They are rated in robot smashes. And
I believe they do call them moose distractors up there. They're not really used for bear anymore. It's all about the moose.
Industry standard is one robot smash.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That makes sense. So it does completely smash Dewey, the smaller robot. And around this time, Jeff is coming too, because, you know, radiation sickness is one of those diseases where sometimes you can't move, and sometimes when the plot needs it, you're fine.
Yep, that's right. That's so medically correct. There, yeah.
And he finds Dewey just at the moment he gets chopped in half, which, you know, has been his main companion for, you got to imagine, most of the last 15 years, other than the dog.
Yeah.
Then he finds Finch, and he yells. He's very mad at Finch.
I was actually about to say, Tom Hanks is really good at yelling at inanimate objects, so I imagine.
So Tom Hanks is going to yell at Jeff just a whole lot.
Jeff!
And Jeff is just going to feel real bad about it, and then they're going to drive again.
This robot feels regret.
Yeah.
There's
a robot sulking in the backseat of this car.
What year did this disaster happen in?
15 years earlier.
Ah, thank you.
Yes.
Did it appear to be either modern times or the near future?
Fallout times.
It is near enough in the future that an RV made in the 80s, running on gasoline manufactured 15 years ago, is still in perfect working condition.
Oh, Fry, that's something else I meant to tell you. I know you were stocking up on gasoline before the price went up.
Trash bag full.
It doesn't actually last forever, and trash bags are not the best storage mechanism.
Lots of vehicles being driven on 15-year-old gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not really a problem. It turns out we made enough gasoline for the next 20, 30 years easily.
It's a good thing they got a lot of oil and gas filters. Oh, wait.
And refineries still running.
Yeah, that's car batteries. Any hoots and hollers.
So yeah, the drama continues. The robot continues to befriend the dog. Mm-hmm. Eventually, Finch dies, and they're all really sad about it.
Yeah, we knew.
And
that.
They finally get where they're going, and they're like, cool. "Oh, there's signs of other life too." So now the whole world isn't dead.
So now we're in a movie with a robot and a dog, and no Tom Hanks.
Yes. Yep. For the last 5-10 minutes of the movie, that there are no more actors.
You will not be surprised to learn that the VFX award that this movie got, other than the AARP award, was for the robot. The robot effect.
Yeah, clearly.
It looks great.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it does. So, do you want to talk about the ending, or do you want to save it?
The ending is the robot and the dog get to San Francisco.
You said there were signs of civilization. Yeah, they find robots.
People had left postcards on the Golden Gate Bridge saying where they were going, and it looked like people were using that as some sort of awkward message board.
Okay.
And so the robot's like, all right, well, let's go to one of these places people are. I'm sure they'll welcome the arrival of a robot and a dog.
Yeah, I'm sure they won't tear it to bits. Fantastic.
A all thinking right. machine, abominable intelligence.
Aside from Tom Hanks, the only other people this robot has ever seen have tried to hurt it. And it's seeking out more people.
Okay. Is there anything else, Fry, before we move on that you would like to say about this film?
I have to say this.
Yes.
The plot sounds extraordinarily silly when you describe it like this. Mm-hmm. But this movie is touching and sweet and just an honest-to-God good time.
I appreciate your input. That is a wonderful, wonderful way to end. Russ, I am extremely curious.
You know exactly where I'm going with this.
Possibly, but I'd like to hear it from
you. It's the Three Laws.
Ah, yes. Asimov, our friend.
Good old Asimov created the Three Laws of Robotics so that we didn't end up with Terminators.
I will repeat them here. Rule one, a robot will never show its robot dick to the robot public. Rule two, a robot will always try to protect its dick unless a human needs it. And rule three is something about
robot like dicks.
Weird sex. Yeah. Anyway, you can tell us the real laws, Russ.
Well, the real law is that, number one, a robot may not injure a human being or, through inaction, allow a human being to come to harm. Rule number two, a robot must obey orders given it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. Mm-hmm. And rule number three, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law.
Yes.
And they added a zeroth law in 1985. A robot may not harm humanity or by inaction allow humanity to come to harm. You will note the difference between a human and humanity.
Yes.
But of course, a lot of Asimov's stories were these laws getting turned on their heads. Chris Stokes, writing for the International Journal of Research in Engineering and Innovation, or IDRE, says, many computer engineers use the three laws as a tool for how they think about programming, but the trouble is they don't work. The first law fails because of ambiguity in language and because of complicated ethical problems that are too complex to have a simple yes or no answer. The second law fails because of the unethical nature of having a law that requires sentient beings to be slaves.
Yes.
And the third law fails because it results in a permanent social stratification. Built into, you know, the exploitation that comes along with these laws.
Yep.
In talking about the three laws, you kind of have to define what a robot is, because in most of Asimov's stories, they were, you know, basically metal people. Or
they're what we might call it an android in modern parlance. We wouldn't really think of it. A robot is more, we think of like an automaton.
Yeah.
But this is like a intelligent thinking thing.
And it's interesting you said automaton, because I was going to say probably the most common robot you're going to run into is a Roomba. And
I have a Roomba, and I like my Roomba so much. It's not a brand name Roomba, it's one of the off brands, but I like it so much I put googly eyes on it. I haven't named it yet, but I'm like this close.
Or like debatably a Tesla. And you can program a Roomba with the three laws like if you want to, but it's kind of silly because they basically run on a Raspberry Pi and they don't have a lot of decisions to make beyond left, right, and stop.
Well, yeah, also, it's a vacuum, so it can't really do a whole lot.
Well, you say that now, but when the robot revolution comes, you'll be saying a different story.
Yeah, they can bump into your foot, and it's kind of annoying. They don't have knives built into them, Fry.
And Tesla's... You're going to
get knocked down some stairs.
It can't traverse stairs. What are you talking about?
This model can't, but you remember what happened with the Daleks. They gave them rockets.
I'm thinking the quadricopters, I'll add quadricopters to it, make them a little drone.
Do you have any idea how much dust weighs? I mean, not that much, but
like,
you know,
not much, it's pretty small. Like, sometimes it flies, so zero?
No, it doesn't weigh zero.
Negligible. But speaking of the uprising, Teslas have only directly killed 14 people through autopilot accidents.
I was going to say, it's a non-zero number.
Elon Musk said all of those were the driver's fault.
Well, that's because they program it to turn off right before a crash. I will say this, though. I know Teslas, and this is semi-serious, okay, because people have died. I know Teslas are sold as having auto drive. It's not auto drive. All it is advanced cruise control. Don't go to sleep in your car while it's moving. Please stay alive. That's all I have.
I want to take the opposite side because I like arguing with James.
I know.
If you are out there and you're listening to this podcast in a Tesla, feel free, you know,
have
really
a little
pay
sleep.
Attention to this. No, don't go to sleep. I want you to really take in the episode, but feel free to close your eyes and just really focus on us.
All right. Now the car will take care of itself. Drift off to sleep. We're going to have a nice, relaxing thunderstorm sound fest next. Everybody have a lovely evening.
Hey, Russ, can you cut in 30 minutes of ASMR here?
Hey, James, watch this. Is now an ASMR podcast. Stipple, 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 stipple.
I don't like ASMR, but I do like those thunderstorm sound videos. Those are very relaxing.
But anyway, 14 people is a small price to pay for, you know, auto-driving cars. And there's no AI malice there happening that we're aware of. And a Tesla is making quite a lot of decisions when you put it in autopilot mode, some of which might be keep my meaty driver not on fire. But speaking of Teslas, Elon has been touting Project Optimus, or the Tesla bot, for a minute now, and he says he wants a functional one by autumn 2022. For those not in the know, the Tesla bot is a robot that would ideally take over a bunch of boring and or dangerous human jobs. So the thing's making cars right now, but this one's shaped like a person anyway.
It's fascinating that he's doing that, because I've never read about a person who cares less about his fellow humans than Elon Musk.
So
he does like money, though.
Do Tesla cars or robots have some form of the three laws built in? Well, Elon's not forthcoming with the source code, so the jury's still out. But of course, the problem with the three laws, and it factors into all the stories, is that they require interpretation. And so it's like, what happens when you put an autopilot Tesla on the train tracks and make it solve the trolley problem? Most of the AIs that we've built so far have been either really specialized, or they immediately became so cartoonishly evil that we had to turn them off after we let them browse Reddit.
Or they saw like 14 Twitter posts and they were like, I love Hitler now.
And it's really difficult to write a set of laws for robots that don't require interpretation. But Japan tried their hand at it, and it came out kind of cute. These are adapted from Tezuka's 10 Principles of Robot Law that he developed for Astro Boy. Robots must serve mankind, number one. Mm. Number two, robots must never injure or kill humans. Number three, robot manufacturers shall be responsible for their creations. Robots involved in the production of currency, contraband, or dangerous goods must hold a permit. That is the most Japanese fucking thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I don't.
If you're a robot making a dangerous thing, make sure your permit is up to date.
I do like the one about, or what was the one right before that, Russ?
Manufacturers are responsible for their creations.
Yeah, I like that one. That one is good. That's actually something that should be law.
Here's another Japanese thing.
What if we applied that idea to gun manufacturers?
Oh!
Yeah,
do you think that could... No, there's no way. Sorry, that's crazy.
Almost like
I don't know about guns specifically, but dangerous devices, and more specifically dangerous devices that are autonomous, should absolutely have that applied to them.
Robots shall not leave the country without a permit.
That's a cultural thing.
Industrial Revolution style thinking.
A robot's identity must not be altered, concealed, or allowed to be misconstrued. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were C-3PO. No, I'm C-3PN.
I'm C-3PO. Anyway.
Robots shall remain identifiable at all times.
Yeah, no, that's good. You don't want to mistake
a bell and
humans.
Cry leprosy.
No, you know what?
Big scarlet R painted on their back.
This one is Japan. Robots created for adult purposes shall not be permitted to work with children.
I agree. That's
your
fine.
Your hooker bot stays in the closet.
Yeah, but people are going to make sex bots, and I agree that they should not be around children. That's completely fine.
But what if it's a multi-use bot?
No,
like, what if
it's a Henry Hoover and a dick sucker?
Fry, you're not a parent. I think you would keep your sex bot away from your servant bot or whatever.
I'm just lots of
they're
people
the same
use
thing,
computers
James.
For
they're
both entertaining
thing.
Children and browsing porn. Not
and
at
a lot
the
of people
time.
Don't clear their browser history. How much worse is it going to be with a fucking robot?
Oh god!
What's
she's seen so much.
Your browser history.
It's having a sex robot, Fry.
You remember that Domino's app that they developed to identify pizza?
What?
Yeah.
It was on an old Munch
Squad.
They
did an AI to identify pizza?
Yeah, that was its sole purpose, to tell if something was pizza or not. And Travis had a great quote, "This isn't pizza, this is crime." Anyway, robots must not assist in criminal activities, nor aid or abet criminals to escape justice. Fine. Robots must refrain from damaging human homes or tools, including other robots. And that's the 10th one. There was one that they omitted, which was interesting to me. Robots must not make other robots.
That would actually be a really important one.
Anyway, so I'm pretty sure that Jeff breaks all of them. It's fun to watch. Anywho, go hug your Roomba and pray for the uprising.
I mean, at the moment, robots are tools. But
aren't they,
though? In the future, who knows? Okay, thank you, Russ. That actually did relate to the movie this time. I'm not going to say it didn't. Obviously, we were watching a robot develop. Well, it sounds more like emotional intelligence than intelligence, but that's fine. It's a drama.
It's a little bit.
I have no intention of watching this movie. It sounds boring as fuck, and I think I would hate it.
Like, did you like Short Circuit?
Yeah,
did you like Robot Johnny Five antics in Short Circuit?
Hey,
what about
Fry?
A whole movie of that with Tom fucking Hanks? Well,
hey, Fry, I was 10 years old when that movie came out.
I didn't like this movie, but for a different reason, because this wasn't a movie. This is a 6-season TV series.
Ah.
Like,
well, it sounds extremely boring to me.
All the emotional beats,
yeah,
none of them landed for me because I didn't know anybody. It's like you could tell when his little robot dog got crushed by that bear trap, that was supposed to be a tear-jerking moment. And I'd met this thing 5 minutes earlier. Like, I don't give a shit.
Are you kidding? I gasped out loud when that poor little robot was killed.
But what if we had come to know that little guy over like an entire season, and at the end of season one, his little robot dog gets crushed, and then that's when Jeff opens his eyes for the first time. Like, that would have kicked ass anyway.
Back to, you know, we mentioned the Grand Budapest Hotel earlier, which I'm actually not, you know, I've decided after watching a number of his movies, I'm not a huge Wes Anderson fan, but I love that movie. And it's always a tearjerker for me, and I'm not 100% sure why, but there's something about it's a dialogue thing, I think.
Well, F. Murray Abraham kills it.
Oh, well, everyone in that movie. But yes, I agree. It's absolutely amazing. Here's the thing about Tom Hanks. I don't dislike him. I've seen movies in him I thought he was really good in. I've seen movies that weren't my favorite. But he's not really a draw for me. I don't love him as an actor. I don't hate him, but, you know, he's good. But he emotionally, he has never captivated me, ever.
Well, that I understand. That's a pity.
Yeah.
Any of our listeners out there, if you don't have James's irrational hatred for Tom Hanks, you should watch this movie.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm saying I don't want to watch it. I think I'll be bored to tears. So drama again, gentlemen. Woo. Let's try something else. I do applaud you for picking a post-apocalyptic movie. That was very unexpected. So well done. Yeah, let's try drama again. Do either of you have any recommendations for the listeners?
It's well known I'm not a fan of horror movies.
Yes.
And I do not seek them out. And sometimes they legitimately do scare the shit out of me.
Sometimes I feel really bad for sending you links to like all the really scary ones all the time. Yeah.
And I watched a trailer of one coming out later this year called Smile.
Oh, yeah.
That haunted my fucking dream.
I like that one.
I'm interested in that one. That one could be good. Oof,
God, I did not sleep well after that.
Yeah. Really? Did that get you?
I watched that one late at night. Oh,
so just the
good
trailer, huh?
Yeah, just the trailer.
I like the trailer. Yeah. Like, I was like, "Oh, I'll probably see that." But
I didn't
find it
distressing. Tells you what the movie's about, and made it very clear to me it's not for me.
I think I got more of like a maybe not cheesy, but like kind of a fun horror out of it. Like, I didn't think it was going to be light. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I'm going to shout out because it opens tomorrow, but by the time this episode drops, it'll be out. The fine people at Sony Pictures Image Works, go and see The Sea Beast, which is opening tomorrow.
Ah,
yes, go and see The Sea Beast. We definitely don't have any family connections or anything.
No, this is not. No nepotism, none of that.
Yeah, but yeah, go see The Sea Beast. It looks cute. I'm actually interested in seeing it. It looks good. Okay. I rewatched The Gentlemen on Netflix after watching Assassin 33 AD because I needed a palate cleanser, and Guy Ritchie is just the man for it. And boy, howdy, it seems like I've watched that movie a total of 3 times now since it came out. Every single time I've watched it, it was better because I noticed more details in it. There's little details that they show you. Yeah, it's been out for a while, but I'm going to recommend it. So The Gentlemen by Guy Ritchie. All right, well, I guess I'll just say thank you, everyone, for listening to Hey James Watch This. Have a great day, and don't drink bleach.